I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy and I'm Alistair,
George William
Trombley Birchall. And thanks very much for listening to the show.
Andy, today I think we're going to revolutionize sketch.
I had a feeling when I saw you in the car park just before the show. There was a way about something about the way you were bending over and the light was catching your wet back.
Yeah.
And glinting off, right? And then I could see the way the light it caught the flight of a pigeon.
That was you. Yeah, I was that light.
Yeah. Catching that pidge. And I had a feeling you might revolutionize sketch today.
Yeah, and I think it's got something to do with barracudas.
Fantastic. Fast fish.
It is a fast fish when it's in water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's a thing that we often say, we refer to animals as being the fastest land animal.
Mm.
But we don't then go on to say on land.
No.
Which really we should.
Well, that's right. Because it's a land animal doesn't mean it spends its time exclusively on land.
Yeah. Or whatever context you're referring to is on land. Mm. Like, what is the fastest land animal in water? Now, I'm interested.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it could be one of those lizards that runs on water.
Very well could be. Yeah. But that's sort of on water. I'm talking in water.
Well, you know, some of its feet.
Could be breaking the surface tension.
Yeah, it could be.
Dipping a toe. You think it's dipping a toe?
If not, at least a heel.
A heel or the tip of a tail.
Do lizards have heels? It feels like a heel spans all life forms. You know, if there's one thing that unites us.
All life forms. And I'm not just talking animal.
Well, a cell, what's that? It's just two heels back to back.
Yep. You look at that rounded heel.
Mm.
You take that, you cut that heel off, you flip that. You stick another chopped heel onto it. You shrink that down.
Yep.
You put that next to a cell of any kind, creature.
Indistinguishable.
Mm. Yeah.
Except for maybe some of the dry skin that you'd find on a normal heel.
When humans grow in the womb, do they grow from the heel?
Well, I think they start as two heels.
Two heels, and then they join up.
And they split.
They split?
They split into sort of a four-heeled creature, and then split again into an eight-heeled creature.
Is that a spider?
It could be. At this point, it could
be anything because it's all heel. And that's the thing. The heel is like the stem cell.
Yeah.
And, it just goes from there.
Well, you know, every part sort of eventually kind of becomes something that is heel-like. I mean, look at the ends of your fingers. If that's not
a heel, I don't know what is.
Yeah. You know, and look, and you can sort of see on the other side, there's the fingernail, which is sort of like a toe.
Yes.
So you can see that.
Which is on the other side of a heel, sort of.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's right.
And if you just shrunk that foot down.
It's not that hard to look at a finger and see
its origins.
How it would have been a foot had the cells just been in a different place, you know, rearranged slightly differently. Mm. The sort of the knuckle there, that's kind of like those two bumps on where your ankle is.
Mm.
You know, you can see that. And it also could be all the little, essentially these kind of like that loose skin that you have on the sort of toe knuckles.
Yeah. Now, but Alistair, what you're describing are other parts of the foot, and I'm only interested in the heel.
Yes, but all those parts of each of those feet, they're
also a heel.
They're also made up of heels.
When we get injured and we talk about healing, is that the process of...
Having heels go over the wound.
Tiny heels.
Tiny heels going over the wound and then closing up that wound, allowing to become a full heel, the heel seal.
Fully healed.
Yeah, fully healed.
Yeah.
And then eventually... its function will go back to being whatever it was at the time of the sort of the cut or the abrasion or the sort of the skinning.
The wounding. Yeah, yeah. Dumb riff or the dumbest riff? You be the judge. Good point.
Wait, okay. but... Barracuda. I don't know what a barracuda looks like. I think it has an underbite.
Underbite or overbite. I can never remember. I guess it depends on which way up the fish is, really.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think in space.
I want to write down, I think there's a sketch in Fastest Land Animal on water, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's... You know, we talk a lot about a fish out of water.
In water or on water?
In water, on water, both, whatever context, you know, we're putting it in. Mm. We're shaking up the natural order of things.
That's right.
Because, you know, I think it's no longer enough for a cheetah to be fast.
Have been fine 100 years ago.
Exactly. But now the world has changed, and what are employers looking for? They're looking for your adaptability.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for your ability to work in a team.
And humans, what are we looking for? I mean, what's the greatest employer these days? YouTube.
Yes.
In terms of animals,
mm-hmm.
you know, in employing their skills for our pleasure.
Amusement. Yeah.
For our amusement.
We're talking about a cheetah now. If it's going to get views.
Going to get views, yeah.
Then it needs to be doing something a bit more interesting than just running fast.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, even just if it was, what about a cheetah on a non-Newtonian fluid? Okay, that's still just...
Alistair,
yeah?
I am on fire right now with this idea.
So first you get to...
Any animal, I want to see every animal.
You know, you get a big
non-Newtonian
long...
fluid.
Okay, how about this? You get a big Olympic swimming pool...
Olympic swimming pool. One of those like super-sized Olympic swimming
pools.
Well,
rather than, because it's like the length is always the same, but you can work on the width. You know,
can
that's
you
what
really?
Makes it big.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And depth. I think you could probably also do it depth. And you can also change the kind of water. And I think, you know, you get at that water that where you flow through
that's
a bit.
Bigger?
No, but you know, you get that water that flows through a bit easier that they had got for like the for the Sydney Olympics.
What?
And things like that. Yeah, I think they do stuff like that. And then so they're...
They got
then,
different water?
So that kind of makes the pool a little bit smaller technically because you kind of
right,
just...
Right, in the way that the internet made the world smaller.
Exactly.
Because everything can get everywhere quicker.
Sort of lower friction water.
Right, makes the pool smaller. Yeah.
So this is quite high friction water.
Makes the pool bigger.
Which makes the pool bigger because it's filled with cornstarch.
Even if it's the same size.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in terms of it's the travel, it's the you know it's the experience
time.
of the swimmer or runner,
the subjective experience of what the time it would take to swim a telegram from one end of the pool to the other.
Yeah, and for the king to swim a telegram.
Exactly.
And so you got this right now. The first part you've got was that a phone.
No, I bumped something on the table.
Cool.
I don't think it was anything unless you're expecting an important message of some kind. I didn't feel a vibration from my phone.
Sometimes I get messages even when I don't expect an important message. So that's why I was just being careful. I apologize.
Would they be important messages?
Eh?
Would they be important?
The ones that I get?
That you weren't expecting?
Sometimes. Yeah, that's the thing is it's the unpredictability of it all. You know, it's very hard to tell. So it's a really big Olympic pool.
Yeah.
Because of how much cornstarch is in the water. And that creates a non-Newtonian fluid that when you apply pressure onto it, it hardens.
Becomes solid, like semi-solid.
Yeah. And then you can run along the water. But if you stop running, you'll fall in. And I think that'll be where it'll be really exciting because you can spook the cheetah.
Yeah.
Right? And
get
it'll run onto there. But then when it stops, because you're it's far enough away from you or whatever, it'll start to sink in, and then you'll see the panic set in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Well, then it'll probably be in quite a bit of danger because the water will probably be above its head. And then I think trying to get out might block you.
Okay, like so then it could be dead.
Well, no. Like, we're not going to allow that to happen. So we're going to have people on cranes who will be sliding around like that, gliding around.
Big cat handlers. Real experienced big cat handlers.
Like, cat handlers, like, they are...
But also custard experts.
Yeah, absolutely. Does custard have corn flour in it?
Custard is a non-Newtonian fluid.
Really?
Yeah, it's the one that everyone knows and loves. It's made with cornstarch and egg.
You're right. And can you,
a bit of sugar.
And so when you bite down on it?
You could break your teeth.
Really?
Yeah, if you bite it. That's why you got to drink it or slurp it. But if you bite it too hard, shattered.
Really?
Yeah. Like diamond.
Can you shatter a non-Newtonian fluid? Like, what's the most brittle non-Newtonian fluid?
Yeah, well, the least Newtonian fluid of all time.
What's great is that it would break, but then as the pressure would stop on it, it would just turn to liquid again.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Mm.
Very exciting.
Yeah. These developments that we're hypotheticalizing.
I think if... The other element that would come into play in, when we send these animals out onto the non-Newtonian fluid, incidentally, Disney on Ice, we've seen it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to see Disney on a non-Newtonian fluid.
It's about time, because we've been looking for something to put Disney onto for years.
Yes. So far, we've come up with ice and television.
Okay, yeah.
And the silver screen.
And is the silver one the big one?
Yeah. That's the silver screen.
And what's TV?
The small screen.
Small screen, okay.
Yeah.
They don't mention the color.
No.
Okay.
No, it could be anything. Silver is in the mix. But this, we've got ice, big screen, silver screen. Now,
cornstarch and water,
right?
Yeah, okay, so what sort of Disney are you thinking? Like, I guess Aladdin.
I don't know. Anything with a lot of movement.
Yeah. So something where you can't really stop moving.
Yeah. I imagine that scene, that
Shark's
song,
Tale.
Be Our Guest. That'd be great in this.
Okay. Yeah.
But then one of those other ones, the sadder songs. And this is great because this is for you. If you like Disney, but you don't like the slow bits, all the boring, sad love songs, right?
They'll sink down.
They'll sink down. They're out. Right?
Yeah.
It's only those high speed, you ain't never had a friend like me's, right? They're going to, you know, keep it.
Bum, bum, bum. Bare necessities.
Nah, that's gone. Balu.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't he moving a lot? He's flowing down a river?
Yeah, but he's not moving fast enough.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so like things like the ballroom, so Beauty and the Beast, is that's what we're talking about? Because there's ballroom dancing, there's chasing, there's hunting the beast, things like that. That kind of sitting on a magic carpet in Aladdin, that's sort of, you know, the carpet moves, but there's no trampling, right? Yeah, you know, that's the problem. So then but then in something like Snow White, if she's just laying there a lot of time, she'll be sinking.
Down.
So
she's
you would need to have like a bunch of people constantly sort of walking underneath her. Like the table would have to be alive.
Yes.
And which is why that's perfect for Beauty and the Beast.
And that's interesting.
Beauty and the Beast on non-Newtonian fluid.
Yep. Or even the furniture. Anything where the furniture is running around, has got little legs and is moving, that is fertile for our Disney or non-Newtonian fluid traveling
show. We go from Olympic swimming pool to Olympic swimming pool with just like tankers filled with custard.
Mm-hmm.
And then we drain out the water.
Yeah,
you put it
or
in.
We just chuck in cornstarch. Like maybe we don't drain out.
So,
the
but we don't. This is the reason. And I realized I was really thinking money wise.
Yeah,
but that we would just suck out the product so that we can keep reusing the same cornstarch every pool.
Yeah. I mean, why don't we just sell it? Everyone gets a straw, and at the end of the show, you all come down. You just drink it.
So it is just custard.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
If it's custard, you come down, you just drink it. We chuck in custard powder at the start.
A bit of sugar.
Some hot egg. And then you come down, you drink it, and then after you've drunk it, like out of the muck, we can drag out the corpse of Snow White or whoever else didn't make it through the show.
Yeah.
And
I guess if they all had scubas, that would be a good thing to just
great idea. That's nice.
Yeah. Like maybe a lot of them could hide scubas in their hair. Except for Dopey. He doesn't have any hair. But he does have a beanie.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, is Dopey the one that's got a red nose or is he Sneezy?
Well, I don't know and I don't have any information. But Sneezy does seem like he might have a red nose. That's all I know.
Yeah. Did Sneezy have a beard, though?
As I say, I don't know and I don't have any information.
I can't remember. I think, you know, all my life I've mixed up Sneezy.
Who was that?
Hey, that was, what's his name there? You know, that rapper who had a lot of success with the Pimp a Butterfly?
Oh, Kendrick?
Yeah, it was Kendrick. Yeah, all great. My life has to fight, something like that.
Yeah, great. Anyway, he can be in there as well.
Kendrick?
Yeah.
I think he'd do really well on Non-Newtonian Fluid, especially because, like, you know, he has those songs where he, like, jumps up onto, like, car wrecks like that, you know, in like, his live shows. They're, like, burning things in, like, you know, there's American flags. Things like that. And so the car wreck could be sinking into the Non-Newtonian Fluid while he's, you know, we gonna be all right, right? I mean, I'm talking three albums ago or whatever, so, you know, I'm a bit behind. I haven't kept up. But, you know, but that car sinking into the fluid would be a metaphor for America.
Yes, fantastic.
Which I think he does a lot of.
Great. I think whatever shows we're doing, there's going to be a lot of metaphors for America in there.
Yeah.
Anytime you see something sinking, that's just art.
Yeah, that's art. That's metaphor.
That's the art kicking in.
Mm. James Brown, the way he kept his feet moving, he would have been perfect for Non-Newtonian Fluid.
He was born to it.
That Dancing in the Rain guy.
Gene Kelly,
that's a great Non-Newtonian Fluid kind of thing, and it takes the click and it really reimagines it into a splash, sort of like a mucky splash.
I wonder if there is a future in which the Earth's surface becomes a Non-Newtonian Fluid,
sort of like an inmarshing.
Yeah, like what would be involved? An embogging.
An embogging. Well, what if the ocean got so high
that
everywhere was just kind of like 3 inches of water, and then the water just kind of mixed in with the topsoil, and then we would just get a kind of quicksandy type scenario.
Well, I wonder if at a certain point we would consider putting custard powder into the oceans. You know, if the oceans are getting high enough, we might not be able to reclaim that land or hold back the ocean, but we could sort of turn the ocean to our own purposes more, fill it with custard powder, have a Non-Newtonian Fluid, and then we'll be able to sort of still operate on that as long as we keep moving. Yeah. And I think also it'll be delicious. So
yeah, well, that's right. And I guess that will be a great source of food for the fish who live within the ocean.
The fish, exactly. They'll thrive.
And the people whose industries depend on the ocean to survive, they can just eat the custard.
They can eat the custard, so they'll be happy.
Mm. And then those of us who don't live off the ocean, we could probably not eat seafood. I think the idea of what seafood is will change.
Well,
it'll just be
the sea will stand for custard.
For custard, which will be kind of like a salted kind of sweet thing because of the salt.
Like a taffy, saltwater taffy kind of a...
Yeah, like a saltwater taffy.
I don't know if that actually is salty, but sure.
I feel like it must.
It must. I that's what I thought as well. And then someone told me it's got nothing to do with salt. So
right. It's something you eat in salt water.
Maybe.
Maybe you're in salt water.
Yeah.
Maybe you are salt water.
Maybe the salt water is in you.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, and I think it is, actually. I think there's an element in which our human bodies have taken a part of the ocean with us, possibly in our reproductive system in some way. We have there is a part of maybe the ovary or something like that that maintains an environment that is very similar to certain parts of the ocean.
Wow.
I'm thinking.
Wow, which parts? Like the Indian Ocean?
I was thinking the Mediterranean, you know. It's very fun. It's very relaxed.
You can float.
You can float there like a lot, like many oceans.
Yeah, right. Not like some of those disputed sort of Chinese island
type things. Have we written anything down so far?
I've written down fastest land animal on or in water, as well as within that idea is Disney on non-Newtonian fluid.
That's within that idea.
Well, I feel like they're all kind of a similar thing. You don't think?
Alistair, sure, they're a similar thing, but you're not going to be able to swing those two sketches into the one sketch Those are two different things.
All right. I mean, like Disney on non-Newtonian fluid can be any live shows on non-Newtonian fluid.
Riverdance would have thrived.
Riverdance. Michael Flatley? Is that his name?
Yeah. Bring him back. Michael Splatley.
Michael Splatley. And we can just get a truck. We just get a truck that turns into a stage, right? It's just always, it's like that pool truck from The Simpsons. But you won't have that problem where the water splashes through the back window. Like it did. Remember, he goes, "Oh man, I gotta get that window fixed." You know, that was my attempt at auto.
All right, okay. This is fantastic.
Yeah, and but non-Newtonian fluid, so it won't do as much splashing like that. It'll be kind of have a bit more solidness. You can just open it up. Maybe the two sides of the sort of, you know, the cover of the truck that hold the fluid in.
Mm-hmm.
That can be the sort of front and back of the stage.
Yes,
and then people can dance on the front and then go on top of the fluid and then back on the front. Or the front could just hold the audience.
Yes.
And they can just stand next to the fluid really close so that they can really see them dancing
really,
on the fluid.
Really, really see the fluid. Mm. I think you've got to really see the fluid.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the magic is in that close-up sort of a thing. You know?
It's like close-up magic, but with fluid. Close-up fluid.
Why is magic the only one of the ones where we get to do it real close up? What about close up dancing? Close up tap dancing. You're right down there. Your head is on the stage and they're tapping right there.
Yeah.
Like you could get tapped on.
That's really good. Sort of like with close up magic, how you could get magic all over you.
Exactly.
It's like going to SeaWorld, but with magic. You know, most of the fun is in getting splashed with some of that magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love saying something and then realizing that you had no idea what you were talking about.
Is that something that
you... No, it's just, when I realized that I didn't know what really close-up magic was.
You don't know what it is?
Like,
it's like when they do like card tricks, like right in your face and they somehow still trick you.
Man, that does sound good.
Yeah, so like, you're watching it and they're like, and then they go, "Is this your card?" And you go, "How is that possible?"
See, I don't like – I find magic irritating.
That's because you don't like feeling stupid.
I don't like feeling stupid.
And it shows you the limitations of your brain.
Exactly, and I hate that, right? So what if it was this? It's magic, but they just tell you how it's done. They show you straight away, so you don't have to feel bad or anything.
How about that, but for comedy?
Great.
I think that's what this podcast is.
Yeah, probably. I hope. But
– Oh, no, but I didn't – like, but then that also – somebody who tells you how it's done is not doing magic. This podcast, if it was that version, you were afraid that we were going to say, I was like saying, this is comedy, but then we tell you the secrets. I'm literally saying we're not necessarily doing comedy. We're just saying how we would do comedy if we were going to do it.
But, okay, this is what I would like, right? I would like a magic experience where I'd just like a magic experience. Is that too much to ask?
I just want real magic.
Yeah. No, I would like a magic experience where the magician's there, right, doing their magic. There's an audience of suckers, right?
Okay.
But then I'm on the other side of some sort of little mirror,
yeah,
right, where they can't see me, and then I get to see how all the magic is done.
And then maybe
the magician whispers stuff to me, and we have a good chuckle about how much of an idiot the audience is, right?
I think that's actually really easy to do.
Yeah?
I think a lot of magic is very angle important.
This is true.
You know, and so if you go even the slightest angle off, I think I did that once. I saw that when I was a kid and I went, wait a second.
He's just standing on a plinth.
Oh, I can see him just unzipping that bag and getting into it. Like that, with that bag that's supposed to have no zip. He just said there was no zip.
And there's a zip. So magic is just lying about the presence of a zip?
Yeah.
I mean, anyone could do that.
Because that's the thing, is that you watch magic, you go, oh, well, obviously this is not going to be like, he's not just going to say there's no zip and then there's going to be a zip.
Yeah.
Like that. And then you just, you look around the curtain and you just see there's a zip.
Yeah. But is that a thing, my little magic idea, where I get to just feel smarter than the audience? Because I still need the audience to be there, so the magic is still taking place.
So that there's some fools.
There's some fools, yeah. Exactly. Someone I can feel better than. Right? I'm not the sucker. I'm not. Yeah.
But then, are you less of a fool? Because
almost certainly. Yeah.
No. But like, you're not even seeing it from the direction where you would get fooled. So, like, in a way, you're not kind of like, you don't get to feel superior to them. Right. You've just seen it at an angle in which it's been explained to you.
Well, I feel superior than them because I had more money, which allowed me to buy this expensive ticket.
So it's just a more expensive ticket.
Yeah, basically, it's just that I've got more money than them.
Yeah, right.
Which allows me to feel superior.
Yeah, right. So, but...
I mean, I could do that in almost any context.
Couldn't you have just? I guess you could have just got a really tall car or something.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Real tall car. You know, when you see some of the real tall car, you're like, "Well, somebody's doing all right."
Well, I think the higher you're sitting up, a lot of the time you feel better. You know, like truckers, although they are probably not super rich, they're driving something quite expensive.
Yes,
and so they get to still feel superior, and because they're high above you, they tower down on you, and they could destroy you.
They really could.
Yeah.
I was driving home the other day, and there were two people in trucks who were just fucking with everybody in these huge semi-trailers, and they just drove next to each other for ages, just really, really slow, taking up both lanes. And then sometimes one of them would go back into the other lane, then duck back out again.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Did you report them?
I felt like reporting them.
Oh, well, that's the closest thing
that
we as civilians get. I feel like
taking the law into our own hands.
I think it's a right wing thing to complain about stuff like that more.
Yeah, right.
I used to, you know, when I was in one job, he'd always be calling on drivers. He'd always be driving around and then just going, "Nah, I'm calling him." There was like a line, and I guess he would illegally use his phone while he was driving to call up the people. You know, it's probably not a real right wing thing, but you got to be a certain kind of jerk.
Yeah.
And though to just police.
I think the Venn diagram probably overlaps with some right-wing stuff as well.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Close-up magic.
Close-up magic. My little plan. What about this? Just any scenario, right? You're allowed to pay a little bit more to stand in a special area.
I think that's already the world.
You're right. You're right, but it's marked off on the ground, and people just know that you paid a bit more. Because you know this is the booths at the opera or whatever they have the royal box and that kind of thing up there. It's not necessarily a better view, but you know people can see that you're there seen. Yeah. So say there's a car accident.
Yeah.
Right. People are gathering around to watch. Right?
People are driving slowly past.
Yeah, driving slowly past.
But there's two glass tubes.
Yes.
The ambulance brings two glass tubes that you can just
stand in.
And you're allowed to look and gaze at everything.
I think this is a really good idea. The ambulance, this would be some of the way that we've like privatized it and we pay for our ambulance service or whatever. The paramedics, they just have a little booth, little glass booth that they wheel out. And you can come in there and you won't affect anything, you won't damage anything, but people can see you're in there and that you've got the pass or whatever.
And the police, that's why they go, "Move it along, nothing to see here," like that, because they're protecting the view that they charge for.
Yeah, that's a premium model.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. Like, you know,
And I don't think, and this is good because the law's not in any way corrupted, I don't think.
No, I don't think it's illegal to look.
No.
But everybody wants to, so it's become commodified.
Exactly. And
you can block the view of the people trying to drive past, the sticky beaks, which is...
Freeloaders, I call them.
And these are going to be called sticky beakers.
Yeah.
And so you can get in the sticky beaker, but it's actually quite dry.
It's not sticky at all.
It's not sticky at all.
Yeah, don't worry. It's not sticky. Unless you want a special sticky model, we have one that you can pay even more and it's sticky.
And it's sticky.
If just, that's just something that you're
into.
But
it's harder to see through because of the
because of the stickiness. But hey, maybe that's just what some people like. And I mean, it won't corrupt the police because you're not asking for special treatment from the law necessarily.
Mm.
Maybe if you'll be able to pay them to sort of arrest them a bit closer to you, or sort of do it again if you didn't see it properly. You know, if you didn't see them punching the criminal in the head.
Yeah, the perp.
If you know,
if you missed some, you know, like the paramedic reviving them.
Yeah, if you show up, you know, just 30 seconds late, it's not your fault, but you've still got your membership, they'll zap them again, knock them out.
That'd be good.
And then revive them again for you.
That's nice, yeah. And they should have like a jumbo screen that's kind of got like instant replays and things like that, maybe.
Sure, but that's not the same as the live.
Oh,
seeing
it's not
it live.
The same. You're right. I apologize. Yeah. And then they would have to pay for somebody to film it and kind of like work a switching desk and things like that.
Right, and it takes away a lot of the specialness of being able to be in the...
Just being in a kind of hot tube.
In the hot tube. It's hot. Yeah, hot.
Well, I mean, it's in the sun probably. Yeah.
And then there's the hot sticky tube as well.
There's the hot sticky tube. And I guess every tube would get stickier the longer you're in it.
Yeah, especially if it's hot.
Yeah. And you know, I guess there's also the fun of the danger if you're kind of, you know, on a freeway or whatever, kind of, you know, a high danger zone where if these cars crashed, there could be more cars crashing. But I guess there's...
But then that's just more viewing for you.
Mm. And I guess the more bad things that happen, the more the government can make money, you know, off of these kinds of things as well. So there's kind of an incentive then to like not necessarily fix roads.
Yes.
And, you know, like, or fix sort of high, you know, black spot accident areas, or
they become a hot spot.
For, you know, they can set up sort of what's a row of chairs there? What are they called?
Sorry, we're getting some weird microphone stuff. I'm just going to stop it for a second.
It's kind of like we're back.
We're back.
It's kind of like a.
We're going to play it off like it never happened.
Yeah, it's like a tiered seating thing, but you're standing in glass tubes.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes up for like high spot area, high danger areas.
Mm.
You know, there could be places where, let's say in the winter where there's lots of people slip over a lot.
Why are we in a glass tube? What's the advantage?
Well, you don't have to, because firstly, it makes you look rich.
Yes.
You know?
Because you think about it, when you go to Ballarat, when you go to the Sovereign Hill, that do that thing where you're panning for gold, right? And you get a tiny little speck of gold in your pan.
Yeah.
Where do they put that gold? In a little glass tube.
In glass tube. That's right.
So gold goes in glass tubes.
That's right. And popes.
And popes.
Yeah. And like pods that go thunk like that.
All three things that are very synonymous with wealth.
Yeah, exactly. Thunk like that. Thunk. Thunk.
The way you flaunt your ability to make that sound really well. It's a bit sort of obscene almost. It's like you're sitting there with your shirt off and you're flexing your muscles in front of me. Like, I'm okay with it because we're friends, but I think that, like, if you were just out sort of in a park down by the beach or something, and making that noise, I think people would find it a bit gross.
Well, they would feel that way because they would be threatened and think that that their partners are going to leave them to come and be with me so they can go funk in front of them. But I think the deeper question here is whether or not the sort of Elon Musk germ of an idea of the Hyperloop.
Mm.
And somebody needs to ask Elon, I want to ask Elon really, but I think other people are working on it. But Elon, will it go funk?
This is Elon Musk's hypothetical transport system.
They've built some already. Yeah.
That involves shooting people around in tubes in little capsules.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that matters is, will it make that sound?
Yeah, because that's why
we
want to.
That's the whole point of having that.
Of traveling in tubes.
Yes.
Is thunk. Thunk. Like that.
And
then you go really fast, and then you just pop out the other side.
And what happens when? What sound does it make when you pop out the other side?
Oh, I'm out. That's great. I'm not 100% sure. You know what? Because that technology has never been made available to me, I've only seen the first part.
Yeah.
When the pod catches the breeze and affects the tube.
It's really sailing, isn't it? It's just sailing. It's just a modernized version of sailing.
It's inner tube on the sailing. Winds. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like being inside the wheel of a bike. So it's the same thing as a bike.
But you're inside the wheel.
You're inside the wheel.
Yeah.
And the only place you can get to is another part of the wheel.
Yep.
But they've completely reinvented the wheel. Completely.
Because you're inside the wheel.
The bike is in the wheel.
Yeah.
And there's no wheels.
There's no bike.
And there's no bike.
I mean, wow.
There's a fucking pod.
If you were to reinvent the wheel,
yeah,
like, what would you change? So I personally, I don't think I would change how round it is.
No.
To be honest, I think the best I could come up with is like adding some sort of feature.
Like a bell,
yeah, or a whistle.
Or like a little screen.
A little screen, yeah. Bluetooth, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of adding features to the wheel.
Yeah, I mean, but of course the great thing is that the wheel is out of copyright, I assume. And yeah,
whether anybody has copyrighted it.
Oh, this could be big.
This could be really big.
I have got to get down to a patent office as soon as we finish recording this.
Yeah, before we release this.
Or
release this and then get down there as fast as you can. Yeah.
Hit publish and then bam, on the tram.
Yeah.
A cup of coffee.
Obviously.
On the tram.
Yeah, get your nose hairs plucked.
Yes. Got to get my good patenting face on.
Yeah.
You know? I got to look like a guy who's got it together.
That's really important to the people at the patenting office.
Mm-hmm. How could this guy have invented the wheel? He doesn't even pluck his nose hairs.
Yeah, so look, I think if I was going to reinvent the wheel, I think I'd start from the beginning.
Yeah.
I would really reinvent.
Wow.
So like, I think
So you would live as a cave sort of dwelling?
Well, I don't think you necessarily need to do that, but I think you got to start with like a blank piece of paper.
Great, so you're inventing paper first?
I'm reinventing. Like, I'm reinventing inventing.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah.
And the way that I'm going to do inventing is just copying things that already exist. That is...
All right, because that's... Yeah, you just...
That's a fresh take on inventing, isn't it?
That's true. It's an old take on filmmaking.
Yes.
I'm just being satirical now.
Because
you know how with films, they're just remaking old things?
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think that you could persuasively argue that you were the greatest inventor of all time just by copying things? No, but you would have had to invent copying things. Like, if you were claiming to have invented things when you'd really just copied them, because really you were reinventing inventing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that first guy would have got away, or woman, I apologize, would have got away with sort of plagiarizing that other person's thing because they were inventing copying. And so you go, all right, you get this one for free. You can keep your bread knife, you know.
My bread knife, but it's yours now.
Yeah, my bread knife, but you can keep...
Well done.
Anyway, so now you can't do that again. You can't steal anybody else's idea. Like, you can't steal my other idea, tongs. No, this one's mine alone.
Just
old bread knife in one hand and tongs in the other.
And
I'm just going to go down to the patent office and patent one of these.
I guess I could reinvent reinventing. No.
But then you guess you could invent tweezers, which is kind of like,
hey,
it's like taking an idea and then sort of changing it to fit another purpose.
Different size.
You see, and that's kind of, that's a form of reinventing.
Yeah. Now, we've done that. So we've taken the tongs, we looked at the tongs and we said, well, let's take them, make them real small, right? Mm. But I don't know if anyone's looked at the tongs and said, hey, let's take them, make them real big, and then invent, and then, because I reckon we should go through all the inventions
okay.
and check whether or not people have made a big version and a small version of them yet.
Oh, that's a great idea.
All right, and then that'll be how we find new okay. kinds of inventions.
Yeah.
Okay? Because, all right, tweezers are done.
Okay, toaster.
Tongs are done. Really big tongs. Like, what could those be used for?
Okay, let's see. Picking up, like, kayaks?
Yes. And flipping them over.
Because a lot of the time people are sort of taking kayaks and they're dragging them along the ground to get to the thing. But if you were sort of like at the boat shed.
Yes, with a huge pair of kayaks. With the
big, yeah,
big,
like
big tongs.
Big tongs. You could just probably pick them up from the back of the shed and then sort of just twirl around and then drop it in the water and let whoever's going to ride in it go run after it before it gets caught in the current.
But also... kayaks roll over a lot like sausages.
That's true, yeah.
So we could use the tongs as life tongs for flipping back over beginner kayakers.
Now those tall lifesaver chairs make sense if you give that lifesaver a big set of tongs.
This really, the ocean is a barbecue, or the between the flags area is a barbecue.
Yeah, it's
crying out for a pair of tongs.
Yeah, it's, you know, like this, it's like, you know, the part of an oven with the grill. The sun is the grill.
Yes.
Right? And the ocean floor is the pan.
Yes.
And the people are the sausages. And the ocean water is the brine that you're for some reason cooking your sausages in.
It could be fat.
Oh, it could be fat. Yeah. You're right. It's the fat.
And then the flipping over...
is saving lives.
Somehow, because in these situations, people are drowning, but it's just because they're facing down.
That's right. That's for, you know, because there's a lot of people come from countries where they don't learn how to swim. They don't know which way you got to do could be to breathe.
We could also take out of the equation the ocean entirely. You go down to the beach... A lot of these same people who've come from overseas don't understand how hot the sun is here in Australia, right?
Yeah.
And so they lie down in the sun. They get incredibly sunburned. But if you come down with a big set of tongs down to Bondi Beach and you just flip all the slowly burning tourists with your man tongs.
Your big life-saving tongs.
Yeah.
And you're saving their lives from melanoma.
Yes, which is a longer term sort of a thing.
Absolutely. Like cooking sausages under a grill.
Yes.
It's a long term thing. Now, what part is cutting them open to see if they're ready?
Well, you do that as well. earlier when you told me you'd invented the bread knife and the tongs and I'd stolen your idea for the bread knife, I should have just stabbed you with the bread knife and taken your tongs.
Yeah, that would have been a great idea. But somebody else had already invented that and you couldn't steal it. That
was, murderous theft.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
So that's
because it's bad enough being a murderer.
Yeah.
A murderous thief.
Yeah.
Without someone then accusing you of having copied that idea.
Yeah.
I'd like rather be original.
A plagiarist, murderous thief. Yeah. As well as guilt, you don't want to feel shame.
Yeah.
You want to feel that you're coming up with your own ideas.
Yeah.
You're bringing, because what's the point of murdering and stealing if you're just going through the motions? If there's no vibrancy to it where you're bringing a creative flair to it, you know? That's why those guys who wear people's skins, you know, or at least, you know, the first few, that's why, you know, you can tell that they're in it for, you know, there's something driving them. There's a creative urge there.
Yes.
Because it's not a thing that immediately strikes you to wear somebody's skin, like it's clothes, because skin is already on you, so you wouldn't think of that being clothes, you know? It's like, oh, I'm going to wear somebody's clothes as my skin. I don't even know if anyone's ever done that, and then cut off their own skin and then just sewn on clothes to make it look like your skin, you know, just a bunch of t-shirts kind of quilted on.
See, this is great. And this is from our similar form of, you know, making a big thing, making a...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small thing. Mm. It's just a classic reversal to have a totally new take on serial killing.
Well, absolutely. And think about how shocking it must be for the victims. Okay, so these are people who have just noticed T-shirts have gone missing, right? Something that they think could have just been the wind off of the clothesline, right? It might have just flown into a bush or something like that.
Or I left it somewhere.
T-shirts, you almost, you know, nothing. Anyway, somehow the police get involved because there's enough of a pattern of just the rumblings. It's a small town. There's a rumbling.
Words getting around.
Just people kind of going, oh, you lost a T-shirt? I lost a T-shirt. My favorite T-shirt, things like that. And then somehow there's a clue. There's just somebody's T-shirt is dropped outside on somebody's front lawn.
Great clue. Yeah. Classic clue. Yeah. A thing is in a place and they see it there.
It's been clearly cut with scissors. It's just the front. The pattern part.
The frame.
It's the front part that you, as the T-shirt owner, probably valued the most.
Yeah, but, you recognize that.
But to the person who's trying to sew these things on his skin, they don't care. They want block colors.
And this is how they get him. They organize a all-town football match, skins versus shirts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They take off their shirt.
Yeah.
Their long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
Underneath. It's all T-shirt.
It's shirts all the way down.
Oh, my God.
Now take off that shirt.
Oh, yeah. So you're just seeing it as like he's just wearing shirts on top of the gooey flesh.
Yeah, what were you seeing?
I'm seeing like, you know, like one of those skin suits where they've kind of, they're sewing skin together. It's a bit patchworky.
Sure.
Like that, but over your arms and torso.
So just on your skin. So it's just like a patchwork.
No, he's cut off his skin.
Okay, yeah, cool. Cool, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I was just making sure.
No, that's all right, Alistair. And it could have been a misunderstanding.
I keep thinking of that part, right, in Face Off. You know, when he wakes up but his face is off.
Oh, man. Do you see it?
A little bit. You don't see it very much, but you just see a little bit. And you see him reach over and touch the goo on his face like that. And he goes, and you might laugh or something like that. I don't know. I think he'd be in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
But sometimes horrible things make you laugh.
Sure.
You know, it's like laughing at a funeral. Imagine how much you laugh and you wake up, your face is off.
Your own face transplant. Talk about an inappropriate time to laugh.
The priest will be
you
like...
You try and keep it in, but you can't because you've got no lips.
No, that's
sneaks out.
That's the problem, isn't it? Taking those lips off, that'd be one of the hardest parts of removing a face. Because the outer part of the lip is part of the face, but the inner part of the lip is part of the inside.
Yeah.
And so...
I think you've got to take the whole lip.
Yeah.
Like inner and outer lip. Take it all.
I think you're doing your incision on the inside of the lip.
Yeah.
Like that. And then you're peeling the skin off like that. So you still got some flesh to hook the new face on, the new lip.
Right. You need something to stick it to sew it back together.
Yeah. It's like, exactly. It's like the little, you're clipping it back on. You know, you're going to slide that lip back in.
They would have, this is the thing in that movie, Face Off. They would have been so puffy for so long. You see the people who've had face transplants now because they lost their face to a bear or something.
Yeah, a lot of.
They're so puffy for so long.
There's a long puff period.
They cut all that out of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I think because in the movie at some point they had like an ear that they kind of like lasered. I think you can see an ear getting lasered made. So I think maybe
they make a whole ear?
I'm not 100%, but it feels like it feels like if they could just make ears like that, then why would they need to take somebody's face off to put your face on?
Here's my problem with the movie.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah. Okay. Here's my problem. It was a long, long time ago. I don't really remember it. Taking a face off is not all that impressive. Putting a face on, that's the interesting bit.
It's really tough.
It should have been called face on.
Yeah. I mean,
face off, that's not a film.
Yeah, but
face on.
I think face off sells the tickets. Face on keeps you in your seat.
Sure, right.
Because, I mean, if it was just a face off, you'd be like, you're like, I think you'd sort of sit there and then you'd see them get their faces off.
You'd be like, oh.
Oh, that was gooey. That was yuck. Like that. But it's the face on that makes you sort of go, all right, I'll stick around and see what happens when this guy does when and he has another face on. Because that's the hardest thing is that you can't not be you.
Deep down.
Eh? Like, no, just like you can't, even if your face gets pretty messed up, you're still just going to be you.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, even if some, like no one, even if you got your face changed with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Right? And you wait for the puff to go down. I still think people will like, be like, no one will think it's Nick Cage.
They'll be like, Andy, well, stop it.
I think so, yeah. Like, even no matter how many times you go, like, peach, I could eat a peach for hours. I could eat a peach for hours. Like that. You can practice, but I don't think any, like, you're still just going to be you. You can't ever be, like, I guess, yeah, deep down, you'll be you. But then also, there'll always be people who will know that you just have Nick Cage's face.
And do you think they'll sort of lose respect for me or something?
No. I mean, unless they didn't have respect for you in the first place. Or they didn't have very much. And then you don't do a very good Nick Cage. But you know what I mean? Like, you're still just going to be you.
But I'll be trapped in a Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but you'll just be a Nick Cage. Like, what you really want is you want to be able to just move into another body without anybody knowing.
But Alistair, isn't that what we're doing, really?
I know, but then it's still you in another body. You just want...
Exactly.
Okay, so what you really want is you just want...
$2 million.
No, but like, okay. You want none of your memories.
Yeah.
Because like, how could you really be somebody else?
Well, but you need your memories so that you know that you're someone else.
Okay, so that we're just looking for the minimum amount that you need so that you can enjoy the experience of being
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, being Nicolas Cage or somebody else, but without being, like, with the least amount of you. So you don't want your body, right?
Yes.
Your body, let's say
that's
you want to be...
That's the first thing I get rid of.
Yeah, I think, like, let's say you want to be, like, a young gymnast woman.
Great.
You know, I think that's...
Well, this body is holding me back.
Yeah, and so I think that's holding you back, and I think that's pretty far from the kind of life you're leading right now.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, so I want to be a young gymnast woman, and I don't want to be just a man with the body of a young gymnast... An old non-gymnast man with the body of a young gymnast woman. I want to be a young gymnast woman. Is that what we're saying?
I think so.
Like, I want to have the identity of... Like, if I went to a gym, I could do some gymnastics. Is that what I want?
Yeah. I think if you were put in front of a big mat,
yeah,
right,
and I could flip around on
it, and some music,
it would come over me.
Absolutely, and it would be sort of like that, you know.
Do I stick the landing?
Yeah, you stick it.
Great.
Yeah, you stick it 95% of the time, but even when you don't stick it, you kind of instinctively know how to roll.
Yeah, great. Now, what about this? Do I have the drive that it takes to become a gymnast, a successful gymnast?
Yeah, you have everything that woman had in order to become that.
Right.
Right? So, but how much of you do you need to bring over?
Yeah, well, I wonder if my lack of drive to become a gymnast is an essential part of my personality. You know, if I took that away in order to become this woman... Would there still be enough of me left to appreciate it? Like, surely one of the things I would appreciate most about being a gymnast is the fact that I'm not a gymnast.
Sure. So you kind of, what you're looking for is you're looking for a fish out of water feeling.
Yes.
but whilst also having the comfort
of a fish very much in water.
So I think that will that will be in the muscle memory of the and the regular memories. So look, you're not bringing. Okay, do you need to know about your children to be a
gentleman? I guess not.
How about this? Okay, you don't get to bring any memories.
Whoa.
Okay, so it's like a dream. You just appear in it.
Yes.
Right? And you're there.
Yes.
And so you don't need to even know that your life was different at any point. But when you get flipped back into your own body, you get to come back with some memories that you did that.
This is great. I think this is a really good compromise.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then you get to enjoy the experience in full without being tainted by, like, you know, like how bored you are with existence. And,
or gymnastics.
Yeah, but you're not bored with gymnastics.
Okay.
Well, are you?
Maybe if I'm her.
No, I know, but I'm talking about you.
Okay.
Wait, but I mean, like, if she's bored with gymnastics, then you'll be bored with gymnastics.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm talking about you bringing your own stuff from your own life.
I don't think I'm going to be bored with existence if I'm in the body of a young gymnast woman. I'm going to be thrilled.
I know, but I was saying that if you were bringing some of yourself over to the lady, where, you know, your sort of cynicalness from your regular life.
Once
Are you
again,
cynical?
I'm a little cynical, but I think, once again, it's the cynicism and the experience of the cynicism in a totally new and compelling identity that will be the part of that experience that is interesting, you know?
Yeah.
I think in that scenario is to, it's just her, right? But I am in the mind and I get hit with her successful gymnast, I just landed a really good thing, endorphins, flooding into my non-gymnast, like, sensory part of my brain or whatever, and I get to feel that, which she is now used to. She's immune to that almost, right?
Okay.
But all that stuff hits me, and I'm like, whoa! You know, I'm really appreciating it.
So wait, so now you're experiencing her. Because now there's a craziness it's even more crazy to yours.
Okay.
Because now, not only are you in a very experienced gymnast, you've also modified part of her brain so that there's a part that feels these things anew.
Yeah, well, that's my brain. I haven't modified her brain.
But so you're just bringing in your whole brain.
I'm bringing in my whole brain.
So I was just thinking,
come along, everybody. We're coming in. We're going to see what it's like.
I just thought you'd bring in like a handful of neurons where the self lives, like that. Just chuck them in.
That's what we were trying to do, Alistair. But then I felt that we couldn't unpick the self from so much stuff.
So do you think maybe then to kind of get your thing, right, is that you don't get access to your own memories for some reason. So you snip that wire in your own brain, but you've just basically sort of cable tied your brain to the back of her head.
Yes.
Like that. And then you just link in the right things so that you're seeing through her eyes, feeling it. But then you're also going through the urges of like, I'm going to run at this mat.
That's what I want to feel.
Yeah.
The urge to run at a mat.
Yeah, and then just – and know what to do whilst also experiencing it anew in your second – in your original brain.
Mm.
And like being completely thrilled like you're on a – like a, you know, like –
Yeah,
a,
like on a roller coaster or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, or an F-34.
F-34. I'm being tossed around. You're being flipping and flopping.
But you're freer. You're freer than that because you're flying but without any assistance.
Yes.
You're pole vaulting.
Yes.
No, is it pole vault? Is it vaulting? You're vaulting.
I'm vaulting.
I mean, you could be going put into the
– I'm revaulting.
But that's a really complex emotion in that you're experiencing both the day-to-day like of practice and perfection as well as the feeling of anew. So you really do need two brains.
Yeah. Maybe but I think that's what you want.
Could you just do it by taking one hemisphere out of your brain and putting it in theirs?
Really
so you just do a hemisphere swap.
Yes. So we take my subconscious or whatever it is, the one that I half that I'm not using, we swap that out with the half that she's not using.
Yeah. Or you just take, you know, just I think both of your hemispheres are you.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be great if I could put my conscious brain in there where her unconscious brain is, right?
Mm.
And then all the stuff that goes into her unconscious brain that she doesn't access consciously, obviously, that can all just come into my inputs, right? Yeah. And then I can experience all of that.
Oh, that's good. You just you get conscious and in her unconscious.
Yeah, and I just promise I won't do anything and I won't get involved. I'm still conscious in there, but I'm just not doing anything. So now, this is the problem. Is the left and the right, are they different hemispheres? Are they the different conscious and unconscious, or are they?
No, I think they're just – I think one of them talks to you is the one that like is like your narrator.
Mm.
But I don't think it's the conscious and unconscious.
So you're saying that if we took out half of this gymnast's brain, she probably wouldn't
– Well, the problem is
be able to do gymnastics as well. As we want her to be able to do it, for me to be able to experience it properly.
The trouble is that if you took out half of your brain, your consciousness would probably also just stay with your body. I imagine we're not taking it out. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. All right. Well, then let's in the abstract sense.
Do you think you could see through both sets of eyes if you took out part of your brain and let's say you took out your part of your brain and your eye?
Yep.
And then put that into her. Brain like that
again. This is going to be bad for a gymnastics ability.
Yeah, but let's say we modify the body so that it's a bit more plug and play.
And let's just say she's so good that she could afford to lose an eye, and half a brain.
But then,
and
but she's, then she's still seeing through your eye.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Yeah. So she'll still get to see.
Yeah.
But she could do it with one eye closed if she wanted to, because that's how she practices. Yeah. Just to challenge yourself.
Great. I'm really excited about this. It's going to feel so.
Because then maybe the person standing on the sidelines could experience the watching of yourself doing it, and then also the person.
I'd be so proud.
You'd be so proud of yourself.
As out well there as the doing person, all that stuff.
The person in the other brain who's like.
And she's also in my brain on the sidelines getting to watch herself. That's good for her. She'd probably pick up some stuff that she didn't notice from that's within. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because normally she has to record it on a videotape and then rewatch it. And this is saving her some time.
Saving time or the rewinding.
Yeah.
She's still using DV tapes.
Yeah. And that's a real pain in the ass, especially having to download it onto a computer.
Mm. Are you picturing she's Russian? I'm picturing she's Russian.
I was picturing Amanda Bynes, I think.
Amanda Bynes?
Is that her? No.
Simone Bynes?
Yeah. No, I was picturing Amanda Bynes from She's the Man. But she was really good at gymnast. Now, how is this a sketch?
Alistair.
I mean, it's a service that we're offering.
Sure. But we've got to nail down the specifics of... You know, in the first meeting, it feels like it's a total recall scenario where you go along to this company who's doing this for you, and it's got an element of the being John Malkovich's about it as well.
Yeah, but it's better than a John Malkovich because
we can call it that, better John Malkovich.
Yeah, but then again, I think one person does get to control. John Malkovich in that one, doesn't it?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, puppet master guy. But this is, this could be much like our paying for ambulances and that sort of thing by offering people a premium sticky beak service.
Mm.
This could be a thing where like successful prime of their life athletes can rent out their subconscious. To have the conscious brain of any old idiot who can afford it put in there instead.
So like the space shuttle, you can just get if you're a billionaire.
Exactly.
You can go up to the ISS.
Yes. So you know, Simone Bynes, the government's no longer going to fund the...
For some reason, I just feel uncomfortable when it's Simone Bynes. So let's go to some Russian lady, even though I'm the one who said Simone Bynes.
I sure. Know. Anyone, whoever it is, if they can't... They,
it's got too much of the get outs.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, have we just copied Get Out now?
No.
It feels like maybe we have.
Is this Get Out?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. but it's got something about people going into somebody's brain. But this is, yeah, I mean, this isn't taking over their brain in any way. This is just an observer experiencing what it's like to be doing that.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, an original idea and a sketch.
It's an original idea that's a little bit like Get Out.
Yes.
But
we didn't realize that until it was too late.
Mm. And there's a chance that we'll just have it as it's just you just wake up, you're somebody else, and you don't realize until you get zapped back into another thing, like a dream, because you can't bring any of yourself into it.
Okay.
You can bring back some memories, but if you go into it, it won't be a pure experience. It'll be you being self-conscious going, I'm this person, what's going on? I don't remember.
Interesting film, right? Mm-hmm. If you were flipping between two brains, right? And when you're in one of the brains, you had some task that you had to perform, but you never remember anything from your old brain when you go into the new brain.
Mm.
And then somehow when you're in your old conscious brain, you have to try and get information because you're going back and forth. Mm. You have to try and get information to yourself in the other brain in order to communicate what it needs to do to achieve the thing that it needs to achieve.
Yeah.
And that is, then we really would be trying to get to the bottom of, like, what is identity devoid of memory?
Yeah.
And, I think it'll be a film.
I don't know, maybe like
a... This feels like sort of a combination of, like, three or four different Jim Carrey serious movies.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, like, you know, there's an element of, like, you know, maybe governments are controlling us, and they use one brain so that it's our worker kind of body, and then the other brain, it's like while you sleep, they just put your consciousness into another body.
Whoa.
And then they get you working, producing, you know, license plates or whatever.
Yep.
You know, whatever they need.
Surely they'd get you doing something more top secret or something. If you don't have any memories, like sure. It would be worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at some point, the people who are working, when you're working at night, they become kind of a bit aware that they're like,
exactly.
Something's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
been happening.
Yeah.
Maybe you start leaving notes for yourself of what's going on. Yeah. I don't remember how I got here today. Actually, I don't remember how I get here any day. But then again, you might not remember because maybe you start anew every single time.
I think you do.
But their one flaw is that they don't swap your cubicle.
Right. You've been leaving notes.
Or maybe they do swap your cubicle and you're finding somebody else's notes and then you start compiling like this group.
That'd be amazing, right? Because then if all of the memories were only in the notes and the notes came from a bunch of different people, you'd think that it was all you. Each time you read the notes and you took that information into your brain, you'd think that they were all from yourself.
Yeah.
But they're actually from a whole lot of other blank slate personalities who've had all their memories removed, and you're assembling an identity that is like a gestalt entity, which is the sum of all the experience of all the other people who've shared that cubicle.
Mm.
Man. Sometimes.
Yeah.
We must be really boring to people to listen to.
Sorry, everybody.
Do we have five sketch ideas?
Wait, is this... What am I calling that?
Gestalt. Conscious swapping.
Swap.
Memory tourism lost. Three.
/ enslaved worker. And what's the gymnast? Wait.
Not get out. Yeah. And I think the world, you know, is probably really, really excited to see two white guys take on Get Out. You know, I reckon we could do.
Yeah, I could take it on remake. I think it's time for a remake.
Do a remake, yeah.
Well, I wonder what it would be like if everybody in it was white.
We could call it Get In.
Come in.
Face on.
Come in.
Come in.
I'd love somebody to want my body.
Yeah.
Do you think they would? No.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Don't we all want somebody to love our body?
I guess
love so. Somebody to want our body.
Love somebody to want our body. I love you to want me.
Take your hand and hold me hottie.
We got three words from a listener. I feel like now we're cycling through our many wonderful Patreon.
Yeah. These are people who are submitting their second round suggestions. Third.
Hey, three words. I think we're
running
low.
You guys are getting really good at this.
You guys are really good, and I think we're down low on three words. So please send through some new ones, people who have already sent some, or if anybody wants to send in some new ones, it's a $3 Patreon thing.
Yeah, get on board, please, if you want.
Yeah, please don't do it if you don't want.
No.
But if you want.
Do.
These are from Mitch Griffiths.
Hey, Mitch.
Mitch, I think you loved it when I said Mitch Griffiths.
I love it. I love the word Griffiths. You know, I think it contains every emotion.
That's right. For some reason, they've drawn an eye next to Mitch Griffiths.
Yeah, I can't explain it.
Mitch's three words are Gimp. Beans. Disaster.
Good gracious.
Yeah.
Mitch, I you sound like a fascinating guy, and I'd love to know if you have anything in mind when you write these down.
Well,
not beforehand, obviously, but, you know, maybe in the future, let us know what you were picturing when you sent in these words, because it's really exciting.
I know we've spoken a lot about skin today, but in a way... a bean kind of does have its own gimp suit on. It's the bean skin.
Yeah.
So like a bean skin gimp suit, which is like, you know, instead of like a leather, which is a cow skin.
So you were going for like a vegan option or something.
Well, you know, a vegan gimp.
Yeah.
You know, there's rubber, which I think rubber comes from a tree, but it also sometimes. Latex, I don't know if that comes from oil, which is dead animals, dead living matter of some sort.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time gimps sort of get in dog collars and get sort of mistreated and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which as a vegan, obviously, you wouldn't want. You'd probably only be able to somehow dress yourself as a tree, maybe put one of those metal rings that they put around the middle of a tree to stop... possums climbing up it.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
have yourself be mistreated as a tree.
As a tree. So to like have kids kick you and pull your bark off.
Kids kick you, pull your bark off.
Then you don't want, if it's a sex thing, you don't want any kids involved.
So. No, okay. What about possums or borer?
Also like your lover dresses as a possum. But then,
they try to climb up you.
But if you're a vegan, is this kind of...
Is the possum... You're right. Strangler fig?
Well... I think that's great.
Your lover dresses a strangler fig and wraps themselves around you.
So now, wait. What's your skin made out of again?
Bean.
Bean. So wait, why are you a tree?
I was just trying to think of the equivalent of a dog collar a plant.
I guess it's the ways in which you can veganize a lot of like this sadomasochistic stuff.
Yeah.
You could wear like a kind of like a tree bark, kind of as a sex thing.
Totally.
You know? I think if you were to wear the bean skin gimp suit, maybe you could lay on a plate. They could toss you into a salad. You know, I think like, there's a lot of kind of like big pronged instruments that would throw you around. Giant tongs.
Giant tongs. Perfect. I don't know that people, that's more of a sausage thing. I don't know if people toss beans with the tongs, but aren't they salad service?
I know, but if you unanchored the base of the tongs.
You got salad service.
You got, salad service there.
Unanchored tong base.
Yeah.
I'll text George.
And then, I don't know, you could, you know, having somebody drizzle sort of like lemon in your eye and things like that. That's
yes.
That's a real thing. And also beans, they don't do well in a salad. Like They often lose some of their, you know, their consistency and they get mushed. Uh-huh. So and that's, you know, that's where the danger lives.
So you get mushed.
Well, you get mushed. I mean, wouldn't that be? I mean, if you're a sadomasochist, a vegan sadomasochist, you want to get
probably want to get a bit mushed.
You want to get mushed. You want some of your sort of like powdery wetness to come out.
Yeah, I mean the interaction between humans and plants, right? Because when we had the strangler fig, we really had two plants interacting, which is maybe sort of not typical of the sadomasochistic lifestyle. You know, maybe one of you is a logger, a high-vis logger sort of cutting down an old growth, a mighty old growth or something like that.
So how would you envisage that happening? So like just using a chainsaw or like a saw?
Yeah, maybe you're on stilts or something.
Mm.
And you you get
edible stilts.
Edible stilts.
And
they're a beaver.
They're a beaver. You know? I mean, obviously that's using animals again, but I guess it doesn't always have to be vegan.
But the animal is thriving in this situation.
That's true. You're
and
feeding.
It's living in its natural habitat, so
edible,
that's okay.
Edible sex stilts.
Yeah.
That's really good. And, and if there was...
Wood flavor.
Yeah. And
edible wood.
Edible wood. Oh, my God.
It's a two in the thick tech special.
Yeah. I know I keep jumping back to the bean, and I apologize.
No.
But if you kind of want...
I'm going to keep jumping back to the tree.
If under your bean skin, you had like some non-Newtonian fluid, that's something that could really like a powdery kind of white stuff that comes out when you get mushed.
Yep.
You know?
Real fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
You could be a pea in a pod, and then you could have a big zipper down, because there's a lot of zippers, I think, in the GIMP lifestyle. Oh, yeah. You could be in a pod.
Yeah, so it's
big
like...
Big pea pod.
Big pea with a
Somebody
zipper.
Zips it down. Like and those... then, yeah, boils you or something.
Oh, that's good. Steams you. Like, oh, you're edamame.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
You get squeezed out.
Oh, and that's what they... you. And then you could say, well, you know, because in BDSM, there's like daddies.
Mm.
Well, this one can be your edamame.
Perfect.
Yeah?
Yes.
And that's what they call your, you know, your bean master.
So Mitch Griffiths, I think, I mean, this is. I hope you're happy with that offering.
There's the word disaster there, which I imagine is the whole concept is a disaster.
Right? Mm. Yeah, it's not good, and you know the safe word and that sort of thing, whatever that would be. The safe word is tempeh. You've gone tofu.
I mean, everybody still gets to pick their own safe word, I think.
You're absolutely right.
You know, because I think once we start putting, you know, limits on it, then no one's going to want to do it.
Sure, but in the sketch, somebody could still have a safe word.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. So I thought you were saying it across all vegan
I'm not dictating to the vegan BDSM.
I mean, that would be amazing if you were the vegan BDSM dictator.
Mm. Mm.
So amongst the group of vegan BDSM, one person has decided to elect themselves dictator.
Wow.
And so they're trans couple, right? They're pan couple.
Mm.
So you drift from couple to couple, ordering them to do vegan sadomasochistic things. Drizzle some tahini on that.
Mm.
You know, come over here and put some... you know, some vegan tzatziki all over between my toes.
It's like a sexual dictatorship of some kind.
Yeah, vegan dictatorship.
Yeah. It'd be some sort of ecosystem or like in a drug dealing situation, you know, where there's a hierarchy, you know, and you think somebody's the boss and then you're like, no, but they're really the boss. Like it's a sort of a web of relationships where there's always... a more dominant person who subjugates the
That's a really interesting government like structure of a hierarchy where it's like a duck V that no matter what, you can always go higher.
Mm.
You can always go to somebody else who was actually below you earlier when you were focused on them. But when the chain of authority goes up above them, there's always somebody who can go up above them and then tell them what to do.
Mm.
I see that would be good for a court system.
If it just kept getting higher and higher.
Yeah. If every time you were unhappy with the decision, you could keep, you just lose a higher court.
Yeah, but then people would be constantly appealing.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. great. Okay, do you want to take us through the sketches that we've come up with today, Alistair? Oh, my Lord.
We got fastest land animal on or in water. Feels like we came up with that sketch idea about 6 years ago.
Probably.
No, but yeah. I mean, like, it feels like the beginning of this episode was 6 years ago.
But also, non-Newtonian fluids are things that we've talked about in the show before, and I feel, yeah, I hope we're not just recovering old
Disney,
territory.
Disney on non-Newtonian fluid.
Yeah.
Andy, if you forget what you did earlier, I think it still counts as new ideas.
Great.
Then we got the sticky beakers, which is the government sells this, you know, they can...
Viewing rights.
Viewing rights, they can be on the side of police cars and things like that, and you can just, you can go and just watch, you know, people who've been hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like watch shootouts and things like that.
Mm. Guess but you're in glass, so you're safe.
You could just do ride-alongs.
Yeah.
That'd be cool too, you know? I mean, it'd probably be more expensive to sort of be in the ride-along. But I guess if the ambulance is in a crash, you're standing up, you know, and there's not that much you can move.
How much to climb up on the policeman's back?
Like right on their shoulders.
Yeah, right on their shoulders or piggyback or whatever. Piggyback, no offense. But get a, you know, when they burst into a house or something.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
That's a real ride-along as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, or, you know, like if they just had clothes that were big enough that you could get into the back of them.
Great.
You know, and like you, they wear, shadowing. they wear sort of double-decker shoes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like not double-decker, but like either you're under or behind.
Yeah.
You know, or your feet maybe go to the side like that. And you, all their clothes, you can just, there's just like a, there's another set of clothes behind them that you can slip into and sort of feel. And it's sort of not that different from our conscious swap tourism.
And it's also not that different to I want to wear your clothes as the skin. It's I want to wear your clothes as my clothes, but while you're also wearing them as your clothes.
You're just following them like that. And you kind of get like a, it gives you a real good gist of what it would be like to be a cop.
A cop who's incredibly impaired by an idiot.
A customer.
Sorry. A client.
A client.
A valued client.
And I think if a cop was fit enough, like cops are just...
They're supposed to be the peak.
Peak.
Condition.
You almost said pig again.
But I didn't.
You're right. But also, they're only so fit because they train to only be one person. Mm. But if they were training to carry two people with them at all times, they'd be much stronger.
Yeah.
When they don't have one, but also when they'd just be normal when they had a second person on.
Yep.
And then super strength when they didn't have a second
That's
person.
That's how training works. Correct.
Then we have reinventing inventing, and this is...
I can't believe you wrote that down. I feel great.
Well, you know, it's because we were reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
But then somebody was also reinventing inventing.
Yeah. Also, plagiarizing?
Eh?
Yeah, to be plagiarizing?
To be copying, yeah.
I see. We should, there's something in there, and I don't think we need to discuss it now, but like copycat killers, you know, that one of the reasons that society is so disgusted by them is that they're not even original serial killers.
They're hack.
They're hack, and I think... They're not adding to the sum total of cool serial killer stories as well because they're just piggybacking on somebody else's ideas.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be a killer, be an original killer so we get a new podcast out of it.
Yeah, you get a new name.
Yeah.
But I guess you could do a podcast all on copycat killers.
Yeah, but I don't think that would be interesting.
Oh, but you know what? Being the copycat killer, somebody who goes and kills copycat killers.
Now that's interesting.
Mm. The copycat... Murderer.
We could call it Dexterer.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of the options.
Yeah, thanks, Al.
Then we got life-saving tongs. This is where if you look at any invention and you just look if there's a smaller and a bigger version of it.
Yeah.
And the proof of the concept is the life-saving tongs is just big tongs. What can you use them for? People, the ocean is nothing, is no different than a barbecue.
Yes.
The ocean... The water is the fat, the people are the sausages, and the sun is the grill.
Yeah, and the ocean floor is the bottom of the...
The pan.
The pan.
And this is sausages you're making in the grill, under the grill. And then you turn the people to make sure that they can breathe, and or sometimes you turn them on the beach to make sure they're not burning.
Yeah.
Then you've got t-shirt skin. This is just it's a criminal, and their only crime is stealing t-shirts.
To wear a skin, to make like a skin
because they want
to
make
suit.
They want to wear everybody's t-shirt.
What experience are they getting out of this? What does this satisfy in them?
Well, it's like those people who need to cut off a limb. They feel an urge. This isn't my limb. This isn't my skin. My skin
is other made people's of t-shirts. Okay.
Yeah, or it could be one specific person's t-shirts.
Sure.
It's that guy's t-shirts.
It puts the t-shirts in the...
It puts the softener on the t-shirt.
It puts the softener on the t-shirt. Put the softener on the fucking t-shirt!
Then we got conscious swap tourism, you know, into a gymnast.
It's like it's in that scenario, the Silence of the Lambs things you were just doing. Yeah. It's like somebody's got somebody down a hole in their basement just because they want them to do their washing for them.
Yeah.
Do my laundry.
Yeah. He likes t-shirts. He wants to make t-shirt skin, but he doesn't want to have to wash them himself.
Fair amount of work. That guy talked quite weird.
Remember, he did.
He talked quite nasally. I think he appeared in the TV show Monk.
Do you reckon the guy, is that just the actor? Like, does the actor
I
just
think when
like
I saw him in Monk, I thought he still had a bit of a nasal voice.
Yeah, because otherwise that's just like such a weird choice to make. Like, you show up on the day of film, you're like, I'm going to do a real weird voice.
My inkling is hair lip.
Yeah, right.
Maybe some kind of fixed hair lip thing.
Okay, cool.
Maybe. And then finally, of course, there's vegan BDSM / bean skin.
I think that's really good.
Skin suit.
Yeah.
Do you want me to write down vegan BDSM dictator?
I think that's an element that is almost too sort of structural or too like alternative to be part of a sketch. It's part of a society, which has never stopped us before, but... Yeah, I don't see what humorous element it adds. Because the idea's already so funny.
What about a sketch that never... It's a sketch show, but every sketch is just more of the last sketch.
That feels like this episode today.
Yeah.
Everything's just the same idea with just some other... And we didn't realize until later on.
Yeah. Anyway, it's something to think about.
Yeah, I think that's a real interesting idea.
That's what we're doing when we're revolutionizing sketch.
Yeah. Hey, we did it. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast Two in the Think Tank. My goodness, we appreciate it.
We appreciate it so much.
Nobody's business.
Oh, my Lord. You can find us on Twitter.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
I'm at Two in Tank.
No, you're not.
Oh,
we're at Two in Tank.
And I'm at Alistair TB. I keep looking at that Google Drive thing. It says it has 200 gigs. Somebody paid to have extra space.
I think I've just got 200 gig.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah. I think I might have got it with some other... with my phone or something like that. Or...
There you go. Sorry.
I don't know. Anyway, that's really interesting for the listeners, Alistair.
You can follow us on Patreon.
But we don't need the money because we're doing okay for data. We've got 200 gigs, so we're obviously fine.
I'm not doing okay for data. I've run out of basically my Google Drive.
Maybe we should
Google
put a
Drive
new goal in the Patreon to get our 200 gigs.
I think it's like $2 for however many months or whatever a month.
Yeah. No,
patreon.com/twointank
if you would love that so much. The people who are on there and who support us are our best friends
and our
only family.
And if you spend even more money, Andy will give you his address.
Yeah. We haven't worked out what that threshold is yet.
But $8 gets you the two extra episodes per month.
And we just did a real fun one of our show Magma, which is where we are inventing a new society.
It's a workshop of our show Magma that we're going to do as a comedy festival.
Well, I say we, but it's actually two guys called Martin and Jerry.
Yeah, I'm not in it.
No, I'm not in it either. Even though the Jerry character sometimes calls Martin Alistair, neither of us are in it. And we
love
you.
You can also review us on iTunes.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.